everybody. Welcome to Caffeination 364, 364th edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. I am so glad that you could join us. This is going to be airing on Thursday afternoon. We're trying to do that whole new thing in case you haven't caught on yet. I probably should have written something about this, but basically we're trying to shift when the show actually debuts to hopefully hit a couple of different people. Some people were saying they didn't get it when I did it late at night. So, yeah, we're just kind of trying to move it around, see what happens. If you would rather that it debuted on a mid-afternoon in the old Sunday and Wednesday fashion, that's perfectly fine as well. We were just pushing it forward maybe 6 hours, or maybe 12 hours, actually, from when it usually posted. But so right now it's debuting Monday afternoon and Thursday, but we're trying to find the sweet spot. So any comments, feedback, suggestions, etc., etc., please feel free to forward them off to caffeination@gmail.com, or you can click the lovely little link at the very, very bottom of the page over at caffeination.com, caffeination.com. You can click the very bottom link, and it actually says call me, and you can actually leave a voicemail comment. See, it's a little Google Voice widget, so it'll call you wherever you are. I won't even see your number. It just shows up as a voicemail comment in my inbox. So it's really cool. I can actually download the MP3 if you want to have it on the show. That goes for pretty much anything, so we're having some fun with that. All right, the title for this episode, at least tentatively so far, is Chaos Theory. Basically, things are all up in kind of a little bit of an uproar in work, as per usual. It's the start of the semester, just trying to get used to all the new things that are happening, all the different students that are there. People have been away for a while, so it's kind of nice to get back to basics for a little bit. You got kind of have to, you know, just go in, you get things done, you do the proper paperwork, and then you get your tail on out of there, just to make sure that everything's running perfectly and smoothly. We're not up to perfect, we're not nowhere near smooth yet, but we're trying all the way. That's pretty much how I'm doing right now. But it is going to be a fun episode we have going for you here today. There's a ton of stuff to talk about, so we're going to stop babbling around here. Today's show is sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is a fantastic software solution that allows you to take a lot of real-world problems and cut them out completely. It cuts out the problem of travel costs. It cuts out the problem of the time that it takes to go from point A to point B to have simple little meetings. These meetings don't necessarily need to happen. They don't have to be face-to-face. In order to demo a product, you shouldn't have to travel across country and waste half a day of travel each way, no matter how much money it takes, you know, per diem and all that. It's a lot of costs that get added up for not very much return when you really think about it. So you too can simplify everything. You can conduct sales presentations, product demos, everything that allows you to have and make up for the lost sales opportunities just because your schedule doesn't match up. Now you just need that one tiny little window where you can fit that presentation in. And it makes it even easier with integrated phone and voiceover IP conferencing included. All this for one low price of $49 a month lets you hold unlimited meetings. No overages, no hidden charges. I implore you to start your free 30-day trial. Just visit www.goodameeting.com/tech podcasts. That's www.goodameeting.com/tech podcasts for a free 30-day trial. Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All the other member shows are located lovingly nestled over at techpodcasts.com. It's a great network of shows. There's a whole bunch of fun stuff to head on over there and check out. All right, on today's episode, we're going to be talking a little bit about caffeinated jerky, some veggie chili, and a ton of news and interesting bits that have been floating about. As always, you can find the Cruft, the back channel of stuff, over at caffeination.tumblr.com. That's TUMBLR.com. I don't know what the heck is up with these Web 2.0 companies dropping E's and all other kinds of vowels, but it's Tumblr.com. Caffeination's the name. It's pretty much it's pretty easy to find out. All right, we have the news and brief, Geek Cruft, then the food and caffeinated bits. We're going to rock on through here. News and brief, up first, foremost, and incredibly hurtfully, Marvel has been bought out by Disney. Yes, the House of Mouse now owns X-Men, Spider-Man, and a whole bunch of other lovable characters. Marvel has always been fantastic for its edge. Now, I've had this discussion on Facebook and a couple other places as to what this will actually mean. If Disney's smart, they won't touch the brand of Marvel. If Marvel's smart, that they won't Well, if Marvel was smart, they wouldn't have sold to Disney. But a lot of the reason that companies get bought up by Disney, and one of the reasons that Pixar and a couple other places did, is avenues of distribution. So it's not just the fact that Pixar can make Toy Story 3. They could have made Toy Story 3 even without Disney. Well, not technically. Disney owns the characters. But we're not going to get into that. That's a little bit of licensing that we'll talk about a little bit later on. The long and the short of it is Disney can make toys, they can make DVDs, they can make commercials, they can make any and everything because they have a world of money to throw promoting any product. The only bad thing about, well, the really bad thing about Marvel being bought by Disney is that I hope it doesn't soften that edge. They had a lot of really good and kind of visceral and gritty storylines and characters, and I really hope that that Disney doesn't play with that. I hope that they understand that Marvel also has an incredibly lucrative and incredibly skilled team doing both video games and movies right now. The Marvel movie house was churning out some really good ones, and it kind of spoke to the quality that they said they were going to push forward. I think it was after Daredevil that they basically said, or it was Daredevil or Elektra, whichever one of those horrible films it was, they basically came out and said, you know what, we're done with other people making our movies. We're going to do it. We're going to do it right, and this is how it's going to happen. It might have even been one of the Hulk movies. I'm not sure, but here nor there. And then with the last movie, the Wolverine, the Beginnings movie, they actually put a good video game out based on a movie franchise. This doesn't happen ever, so it's going to be interesting to see. Unfortunately, if you head on over to Penny Arcade, there's one of the... I guess you'd say casualties of this, the human resources department over at Disney, and now has two beasts on their hands. One is a doctor of, I think, physics. He's giant and blue. The other one dances and has a rose that can't die. So, yeah, you can do your own sightseeing if you head on over to Penny Arcade to see exactly what they are. The good thing about this all is that we are all X-Men. The BBC News has been reported that we are all mutants as scientists, that each one of us has at least 100 new mutations in our DNA. I personally can't turn into steel, don't have adamantium claws, even though Wolverine wasn't really born with them. They were actually bone claws that came through. I don't have mutant healing factor, as is evidenced by my recent, somewhat frequent injuries. But, you know, I pretty much don't have anything except a slightly irritating singing voice. So if that's about the limit of what our mutations, I think we really need to kick it up a notch. And I hope my son has, like, super speed or something really cool. Maybe he can levitate stuff with his mind and we just don't know it yet. He can talk to animals. I mean, there's a whole bunch of cool things. He's only 3. He has time. I've been led to believe that mutant powers don't develop at least until you're preteen. So I think we're good. But still, you can head on over there and kind of wade through the science. It's really cool. They say there's an interesting lapse in how long it takes for different mutations to take effect. And a mutation isn't, you know, what I've been playing around with, the standardized X-Men one. You know, nobody's going to be able to turn into a ball of fire anytime soon, although that would be pretty cool. There's slight changes in DNA, be it degradation, be it anything, that changes from one permutation to another. So it's going to be, it's interesting to see exactly how different traits develop, how they're passed down, and which new traits appear and disappear. The Human Genome Project's actually allowing us to see the different things that are behind there, as well as a couple other studies that came out. So it's going to be fun to see exactly where that goes. Now, from mutants and Disney, the House of Mouse, and all that fun stuff, we're going to go to something incredibly techy here. Black Blaze is a hosting company. It's a server storage company that is online, and they are building a massive storage array. They have the need to build massive storage arrays, 67 terabytes per 4U server. If you don't understand what that is, a 4U server is basically a unit is the distance between two of the little rack-mountable slots. So 4U is probably, I guess, about... maybe 10 or 11 inches tall. So it's a big, beefy server, these things are. But here's the thing. If you were going to have 67 terabytes of data and you were going to try and work on the system that Sun, Dell, Amazon, and EMC put out, if you're going to go with an EMC SAN, you're going to spend $2.8 million. The same thing with Amazon S3. Sun, you're only going to spend $1 million, and Dell, coming in the low ball end of this, is the MD-1000 for $826,000. Black Blaze kind of cut the middleman, said, you know what, if we just bought the amount of drives that it would take to build this thing, that's $81,000. So on top of that, they kind of strapped a couple other things in there and said, okay, what exactly do we need? And they built an in-house solution, but they're doing more beyond that. What they're actually doing is releasing the plans, the wiring diagrams, absolutely everything, soup to nuts, so that if you have the money and you have the wherewithal, you too can build your own massive storage array. So you can have 45 hard drives in there. They're saying that you can build one of these 4U boxes for $7,867. That is chump change. The server that we bought and work was somewhere in the neighborhood of $17,000 a couple years ago, and it was, you know, It was designed to be the big iron. It was designed to be something that you use to hit the long drives there. If I could cram a couple more sports analogies in there, I would. This is incredibly low cost. This could effectively change the game if enough companies and other things actually set out there and actually tried to do this. So in-house data storage could be a possibility, because Black Blaze has already done a lot of the legwork for you. So this is really kind of cool. And the only thing that you look at, there's one caveat that they put in there. Basically, they had to have a custom-designed case. So the fun thing about that is they actually released the 3D model of the what they call the Black Blaze storage pod. This is fantastic. This is the kind of open access to information that makes makes paradigm leaps between things happen. So it's like somebody releasing all of their information, saying, you know what, this is how we're doing it, have at it. Now the next person to come along can look at this and say, hey, you know what, I took all this, if you switch this with that, or if you do this with that, you'll get that much more performance, and eventually it's going to evolve or mutate into something completely different down the line. So it's a really cool and organic process to watch. And now with this kind of thing, you're going to be able to see it happen in the realm of storage. Storage and batteries are probably the two areas in technology that are the most lackluster in their performance. I mean, basically, we need more files. We need more size all the time. There's a lot of statistics that get thrown out there. There's a lot of quotes. 640K should be enough for anybody, as was said by Bill Gates in 1981. But there's so much stuff that's out there. So many different things that are being played with. That it's really going to be fun to see exactly where this ends up. All right, that about wraps it up for the news in brief section. Not so brief, a little bit long in the tooth there, but hopefully we'll get on there. All right, now and on to the Geekcraft section here at the Caffeination Podcast. We have a lot of great stuff in here, so we're going to just dive right on. I'm going to try and cut down the babble here. All right, up first we have a great article about the photos being released of James May of Top Gear fame and his Lego house. He apparently owns a vineyard and is building a two-story Lego house within the vineyard. So they released a lot of production photos of the actual construction of the monolith. They're saying he's actually going to live in it for a couple days, and then they think it's actually going to fall over. So I'm not sure exactly how sturdy it's going to be. They're trying to work out all the different math that it takes to see exactly how many bricks they have. I think I've heard different counts. Somebody said 816 million bricks, but I seriously doubt that that's the actual final count. They're saying something like 270 bricks actually go into making one larger style brick, and then they're all put together. So there's something like a couple tons of Legos being put into there. Sorry, 272 Legos are actually being pieced together for each one of these bricks. So they're saying over 3 million bricks were used. I think over 3 million Lego bricks. They're saying over 3 million bricks in the entire thing, so that would be 860 million Lego pieces. Somewhere along the way, the math got a little bit messed up. But this thing is insane. They even have a Lego toilet, which is cool. I don't know exactly how that would work. I guess they'd have to kind of fuse some of the pieces together to actually have it work correctly, but there's one picture that I really can't find. It actually shows a little kid helping build the house, and he has an awesome shirt on that says one brick at a time, and I think the front says Lego. So, like, just if you find that one, just marvel at it, because it's pretty nifty. So they're saying something about the UV degradation on the actual bricks might actually cause them to turn colors in a couple days. I hope somebody puts, like, a stop-motion video of this thing actually being constructed, because it's just fascinating. All right, moving right along. along. Warner Brothers apparently was working on a Lego movie. Now, you know, I've seen and heard of the Lego video games. I've even heard of a larger Lego video game called Lego Universe. I think we talked about that on the last show. But it's just kind of crazy. I don't really understand why or how you would make a Lego movie unless all the characters are made of Legos. Is it something about Legos in general? But it's just crazy. I mean, they're saying that apparently they've been trying to do a Lego movie for years, and that Lego itself has actually turned down because it wants to make sure that the brand stays the same. They want to make sure that people are doing the right things with the Lego brand as a whole. And I gotta say, that's probably the one instance where I would actually defend the company's right there, because they are the ones who control. They say, okay, fine, if you're gonna do a Lego branded movie, then it has to be in the right spirit, because you don't want somebody having like a slasher film and saying, hey, it's a Lego slasher film. I mean, yeah, it'd be fine if a fan did it, but if Lego wants to continue having the same public image that they do, then they have to kind of actually watch out on what exactly other people do with their stuff. So, all right, moving right along. Talking about defending your brand, they are very lenient when it comes to people making sets that never existed. For instance, the one that we have here, Frank Herbert's Dune, done in Legos. So they actually have a couple of the different people that are there. They have a large sandworm. I mean, it's just, it's beautiful in how simplistic it is, and it almost looks like it was created by Lego. So it's from over at brickshelf.com. It's a fun place that you can actually head over and look at a bunch of different stuff. Now, the next little thing that we have for you here, there's two topics that kind of are slightly overarching on today's show. One of which is being Legos, which you're probably seeing by now, and the other which is being jerky. So we're going to talk about that in the proper location. But the next little story we have up here is playing with Legos for science's sake. Apparently, when you scale problems that are tiny up to larger size, things behave much in the same way they do when they're tiny sized. There's a small problem of cosmology in that when you get to incredibly small and incredibly big, things tend to behave differently. They tend not to not follow the proper laws of physics and all that. But physics in between is rather rigid, so it's interesting to see what a lot of German scientists are currently doing. They're trying to work on nanoparticles, microscopic nanoparticles, but they're doing this by playing with Legos. They can build a larger sized rendition of the different grid that they're trying to work on. Then they soak the grid in some kind of a liquid glycerin so that it actually smooths out the paths, and then they can drop ball bearings through it to see exactly how the ball bearings behave in the Lego grid. This is insane. So it's really kind of funny, because that means that there's actually real work being done by physicists somewhere with Legos. So you can kind of tell he's like going to work, and his wife says, oh, what are you doing today? Oh, we're playing with Legos. It just brings back memories of college, because we had one class called Discovering Cosmology. I was in philosophy, and we actually had every Friday we played with toys. It was awesome. Like you had crazy things, like we played with Legos, we played with Kinects, we played with the guy was working on string theory, so we had like balls of twine and rubber bands, and there was just like there was things like creating bubbles and create it was just, it blew your mind, some of the different uses that common toys can have to kind of resemble larger constructs. For instance, knitting is probably one of the easiest ways to reference and showcase bending of time space, and it's much harder to do the equations than it is to actually show you somebody bending a piece of knitting. So I just thought that was cool, wanted to pass it along to you. Alright, next little thing we have up for you here, Video Series has a gritty vision of the Mushroom Kingdom. I have been watching this series quite frequently recently. It's called There Will Be Brawl. This is a not safe for work insane edition of the Mushroom Kingdom. This is a conglomerate of different characters from Nintendo and Sega. This is done all within the idea of fair use, and that the characters were not created by these people, but they've reimagined it and they've done work using older characters. This is beautiful, and the story is incredibly engaging. If you have time and you're not offended by a little bit of language and a little bit of crude humor and crude situations, it's really beautifully shot, and it's basically a fan film. It's about Mario and Luigi and their struggle to not be considered plumbers. They have to try and rescue the princess. Link's involved. Zelda's involved. You see Kirby. You see all other kinds of of insane characters from video games, and it's basically the video game kingdoms are crumbling around them. It's beautiful. I just wanted to kind of send you over to therewillbebrawl.com. All right, now this website comes up all the time because I can never remember what it is. I want to make sure that I included it in today's show. All right, what we have here is a great website specifically dedicated to showing people the error of their ways. So basically, if you went out and you got a Asian character tattooed on you, be it Chinese or Japanese, you could send it to this gentleman, and if it works within the parameters of what he does, then it might end up appearing on this on this website. It's called HanzySmatter.com, it's HanzySmatter.com, HanzisMatter. One of the things that I actually have up there is you have to make sure you have the proper fonts included all the time. For instance, in Sweden, they actually have one of the Stockholm International Airports, they have a sign that where they tell people in Swedish that this is the right way to go for arrivals, and then they tell people what's supposed to be Chinese or Japanese. Unfortunately, they didn't have all of the font packs installed, so you have the proper kanji up front, and then for the second one, you have the traditional block. Any IT administrator or somebody like that would be able to kind of pick that out and say, oh my god, that's horrible, how did that ever make it there? But somebody in Sweden wasn't really paying attention too much. So, alright. Moving right along. The next little thing we have up for you here is rather a quick one, but we're going to just kind of push it out there and hope you enjoy it. For those of you who don't know, Google recently changed the analytics engine in which they use to run their search engine. Basically, they have a whole big algorithm behind everything. They kind of revamped it, slimmed it down, and it was codenamed Caffeine. I was incredibly happy to hear about it, but unfortunately, it kind of swamped the results for Caffeine for a while because everybody's talking about, ooh, what's Caffeine doing in the background? Well, I'm going to tell you the secret behind what powers Google's caffeine search technology, at least as told by the fine folks over at HubSpot. They said Google is harnessing the power of thousands of idle Starbucks baristas. So they show you a bunch of Starbucks linked up to Google all over. There's a lovely little comic there. I don't want to explain the whole thing away. But basically, I think it's a little bit of a twofold thing. First of all, that nobody's actually going into Starbucks right now. Everybody's doing the wonders of brewing coffee at home. And the other thing is that they have far too many people on there and far too many Starbucks to actually service everybody. All right, moving right along here to get some more interesting stuff. EA is now on the other side of a licensing duel, and it's actually kind of fun to see them kind of quiver a little bit. Except this is a perfect example about why the my pet peeve of late needs to really get resolved. EA is trying to produce the next version of Godfather, which, like it or love it, or dislike it, kind of meant for that to come out differently. You know, whether or not you think that it's a good idea that they're producing yet another Godfather game is beyond the point. One of the guns that they're trying to use in the Godfather game is the Dillinger gun. Everybody calls this the Dillinger gun. This is a gun invented by Dillinger, surprisingly enough. However, there seems to be a problem with EA actually using the name as the modern Dillinger, the Dillinger Tommy gun, in their game, because the grandson of the famous bank robber's half-sister has contacted EA and apparently wants millions of dollars for the game element. You have no rights to this, no matter what your distant relative ever did. My great-great-grandfather built and flew the first airplane in Philadelphia. That does not mean that my family is in any way entitled to rights in perpetuity because of airplanes flying in Philadelphia. Nor does it mean that anybody who, the history of flight very early on is chock full of issues with patents, which is one of the reasons that the United States did not develop viable airplanes for a very long time, despite the fact that Orville and Wilbur actually had their flight at Kitty Hawk, and despite the fact that my great-great-grandfather said that other people did it before them. America didn't move beyond hobby airplanes because of patents and issues with them. They stifle innovation. So patents and trademarks and intellectual property are all kind of getting on my nerves of late, and I'm sure you're tired of hearing about them. So we're going to go on to the next thing. This is a giant, big, I was right sign. Nintendo is actually freeing their internet channel for the Wii. For those of you who did not know, the Wii is perfectly capable of going online and viewing standard web pages. However, for the privilege of doing so, for the entire lifespan of the Wii thus far, they've charged you $5 to download the program. I refuse to pay any kind of money to actually view the internet on the Wii because I have two laptops and it least two working computers in the house at all times. There's no reason that I would pay to use it. I think it would be neat. I think it would be kind of a novel way to view your information. And if they kind of built some kind of RSS reader into it, I think it would be even better. So, after much deliberation and a much gnashing of teeth, Nintendo has decided to offer the internet channel free of charge. And not only are they doing this, but if you have paid for the internet channel over the past couple of years, they're giving you a 500-point refund, so basically $5 back in your pocket that you can use to purchase something else. I personally don't want to buy anything from Nintendo, so I'm glad I didn't buy it in the first place. But hey, if you have a Wii, head on over there and check out the internet channel. It's actually kind of fun. And you know what? If you go to caffeination.com, you can actually play the episode on your browser and hear them through your TV. Now, if I had a video podcast, that would be a little bit cooler, but still, it's nifty nonetheless to hear my voice coming out of a TV. So, all right, moving right along. There's an interesting little concept that's out here. It's pay for your web time with a little sweat equity, at least that's how I've titled it. It's sweat. It's a web cycle doles out internet speeds as fast as you're paddling. So it's a lovely little exercise bike combo, and the quicker you pedal, the quicker you get access to the internet. And it's kind of a fun little sweat equity game that you can play. It's kind of a little carrot on the end of the stick to keep you exercising. So if that's your bag, then you can check that article out from over at device.com. We got a couple more, and then we're going to head you on into the food and caffeinated bits section. Next little thing we have for you here is I want this Duck Hunter print. I cannot find out how to get it, but it is beautiful. It's a lovely Bob Ross style picture of a tree and an interesting little lake area, some happy little trees and bushes in the background, and then overlaying on top of that is the dog and the iconic ducks from Duck Hunter. It is beautiful. It is perfect. I would love to, if this was a better picture, I would kind of zoom in there, scan it, and print it out big style, because I think this is awesome, and I think this is almost subtle enough that you can actually get away with hanging it in your living room or something like that, and people would walk by, oh, that's a nice landscape picture. And then you have a little dog laughing in front, and now he's laughing at them. All right, moving right along. The Japanese are planning on building a $21 billion space-based solar power plant. Yes, you heard me correctly. In space, they're going to find some way to collect solar energy out in space, because there's none of the nasty habits of weather or atmosphere getting in the way of the direct absorption of the sun's rays. The only problem is nobody's built an extension cord long enough to reach down from space, and the sheer weight of the extension cord alone would probably make it a prohibitive venture. However, the Japanese are trying to find a bunch of different ways to get the power from up there down to here. So somewhere Nikola Tesla is in his grave and he's giving a giant big thumbs up, because they're trying to use high energy radio waves or lasers to bring the collectors down to Earth. This is fantastic. This is the kind of cool thing that you see in the science fiction movies and you're like, that would never happen. Guess what? It's going to, and the Japanese are going to do it. So it's going to be kind of fun. Alright, that about wraps it up here for the Geekcraft section. We're going to dive right on really quick for the food and caffeinated bits. First up, Alton loves his jerky. I love Alton Brown. I think he's a fantastic personality on Food Network. Some people say he gives too much information. I say there's never too much information. Some other people put recipes and stuff up there, and you're kind of left wondering exactly what you're supposed to do at point A or point B. He leaves nothing to chance. In fact, not only does he do that, but he tells you to a fault why things are the way they are. That's fantastic. So I've put his recipe for jerky up there, complete with the method of creating it using a box fan. So you too, with a couple little air filters, can have your very own jerky. Or you could just move on to the next, or mosey onto the next little thing here. It says, here's my card. Yep, that's right. Somebody has found a way to use a laser cutter and actually etch business card information onto strips of meat. So they're called meat cards. It prints your business card on beef jerky with a laser beam. There's an information up at TechCrunch where you go to meatcards.com. They apparently sent some to G4 way back in May, and on Attack of the Show, they actually ate their business cards. I like beef jerky. I don't want to hand other people beef jerky, and I don't really think it's a good idea for me to walk around the house with bits of meat stuck in my pocket, because we're still trying to teach the dog not to jump. So, moving beyond that, we have a story from meatinternational.com. I'm a big fan of meat. I would consider myself a carnivore, but I don't really like their header image, because it's just a little bit strange for what they're trying to do. But hey, you know, it's industry information from gate to plate. So I guess that kind of covers exactly what you see up at the top. However, they're introducing a new product which recently got FDA approval. You heard it here correctly. Caffeinated beef jerky is coming down the pike. Recently received USDA approval. The Department of Agriculture said, hey, you know what? You too can have some Get It Perky Jerky. That's the product name. I cannot wait to give this a try. I need to find some of it. It sounds fantastic. They said 90 calories per serving and 22 grams of protein. So, I mean, normally jerky is an incredibly healthy snack. It's really kind of fun. I love jerky because I think it's very multi-purpose. Not only that, but not just the caffeinated variety, but Alton Brown actually had a method, so jerky wasn't only used to just kind of gnaw on the trail, but if you could reconstitute it, it actually makes a fantastic addition to other dishes so that you could actually create beef stew down the road without having to worry about, you know, okay, you know, is the beef properly preserved? Because guess what? You jerkified it. So that's what you got going there, and pretty soon we're going to have some caffeinated beef jerky. It says Perky Jerky is 100% natural additives made from guarana, a plant native to South America. So it's going to be kind of fun to see exactly where they go. So we're going to look out for some Perky Jerky, see exactly what's going down. And then from what everybody loves is meat to an interesting little recipe, at least I think it's interesting, that I put out there called Quick Veggie Chili. Now, you might ask why a self-loving carnivore such as myself would be putting out a recipe for vegetable chili, which is kind of a non sequitur there. Vegetable chili really just doesn't jive with most people. I, however, think it's fantastic. I love three bean chili. I'm actually going to be putting an article up, full recipe on how you can create my very own slow cooker three bean chili. However, this is quick veggie chili because, and why veggies? Because if you add chicken or beef or anything, you're pretty much stuck with what you got. You have chicken chili, you have beef chili, you have veal, whatever it is. You stuck with what you got. What I've been doing is making a big batch of veggie chili, usually with a kick you in the teeth kind of heat, and then by the end of the week I can add whatever leftovers we happen to have from the night before into the chili, or just eat it plain. It's an easy way to kind of move away from a base. So it's like you start there, it's almost like having bread, you know. It's like, okay, you can have bread every day of the week, but you don't always have to have cheese on it. You can put jelly, you can put anything else on it. It's the same kind of thing here. It's a really good base dish, and I happen to like me some spicy chili. This is really dense and chunky. There's hardly any liquid to it at all, so it's still very moist, but you still kind of boil everything down. The other thing is there's actually a gluten-free version of that in there. The only thing that I use that actually has gluten in it is just a teaspoon and a half of flour. And again, from Alton Brown, I got the tip that you can actually use corn chips crushed up. So the Mission tortilla chips, you can actually crush them up into a fine dust and drop them in there. And they actually add a little bit of an extra corn flavor to it. So I thought that was fantastic and wanted to pass it along. Hopefully you enjoy my recipe. If you don't, please feel free to let me know. Next little thing that we have for you here, hotel with coffee done right. When we recently traveled to my cousin's wedding at the Radnor Hotel in St. David's, PA, I was astounded to see that they actually had no coffee maker in the room, which is good and bad. When you really sit there and you think about it, okay, usually the coffee makers that they have in the room are of questionable cleanliness, and second of all, there's never really good coffee, and they always use tiny coffee filters, and then you kind of, you know, go back and forth on how you should actually do it. Instead, they decided to have Dewey and Egbert coffee machine in the lobby, a massive and incredibly good coffee machine in the lobby, complete with a full coffee service, so I wrote a little clip up on them. I love Dewey and Egbert coffee. They have it at one of the bars around here, and it's kind of like a restaurant during the day, a bar at night, and they have great coffee all the time. I know it's a lovely, smooth blend, so if you ever have a chance to try it, it's not too expensive. It's just fantastic. All right, and then the last little thing we have for you here is called the Sky Planner. For some reason, somebody thinks that growing house plants and everything else upside down is really innovative. Apparently, nobody's seen the commercials for the topsy-turvy. That's all I'm going to say. There's no word yet on how much this one's going to cost, but you could always just buy a topsy-turvy and put a philodendron in there instead. All right, that about wraps it up here for the Caffeination Podcast, episode number 364, Chaos Theory. It was all over the place, and we came in just a little bit over the time that I usually want to aim for. Thank you so much for sticking around. around. I hope everybody enjoyed themselves. Remember, we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Us and all the other member shows have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly content over techpodcasts.com. And last but most certainly not least, you too can send in comment, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, whatever, to caffeination@gmail.com. We are located over at www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com for those of you who couldn't figure that out. All right, thank you so much for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.